Okay, I have been in this series called Reaching Your Potential or Reaching Our Potential. When you reach your potential, we as a congregation reach ours. And today I am going to be concluding this series of messages. And so in conclusion, I want to start with a brief review of some of the things that we have talked about over the time. We've focused on a couple of scriptures. I realize I have Colossians 1, 28 and 29, but I'm just sharing verse 28 on the screen there with you from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." When we're talking about reaching our potential, we never will unless we are attaining that completeness in Christ. And Paul speaks about that. That was why God had called him to be involved in serving the church, to bring people to that place called completion. And then also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I'm reading this from the Amplified, it says, "I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." So God is involved in this work of us coming to completion, of us reaching our potential. We need to receive the work that God is continuing to do, and it says it's going to continue to happen until Jesus comes back. So none of us have attained that complete perfection or completion yet, ultimate maturity. We're not there yet. We need to receive the work, his ongoing work in our lives, for us to continue to attain or progress towards that completion. We began talking about guarding against vulnerabilities, and our 20-somethings group did a tremendous drama. Cheryl put that together, and the guys that worked together with her, that was awesome, about how we are vulnerable to the attacks, the temptations, so forth, of the enemy, and we need to learn what to do to guard against that with the equipping that God has given us. And the maturity that we are to attain in Christ, maturity will help us to guard against those vulnerabilities. And that was like the city without its walls, like we're making the connection with Nehemiah and the city of Jerusalem that was, they were building the temple and the city was being restored, but they did not have walls around the city, so they were vulnerable. We also talked about spiritual vitality, and as a part of our Reveal survey, we see that we as a congregation have a certain level of spiritual vitality, and it's involved in personal spiritual practices and faith in action, and also the church has a role in helping for each of us to have a certain a spiritual vitality, being vital in our spiritual lives. And so we talked about that. We also talked about dealing with the enemy. We saw how the Israelites, with their wall only partially built, were still vulnerable to the enemy. We saw Sanballat and Tobiah coming with their terroristic threats about what they were going to do to the people of Israel, and so they had an enemy to deal with. And we realized we also have an enemy. He is the devil. He prowls about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He disguises himself as an angel of light, and he presents to us that spiritual and psychological warfare, attempting to convince us that he's all bad and mean and we'll never conquer him, which is absolutely false. He comes with threats to us in our lives, and we need to know how to stand against those and how to deal with the enemy. We talked about the process of completion and how God is involved in that. We saw already in Philippians 1. But in Philippians 2, it speaks about God being effectually at work in us, energizing us, giving us the power, giving us the desire. And so, I mean, it's all there for us to just cooperate together with God. And that was the word that I had given you that day, is yield and cooperate. God's doing this work in you. Yield to that work. Cooperate with his work. He wants to bring you to a place of completion. Again, it's like Father. You know, that's the emphasis here. That's the word that the Lord brought to us this morning. Consider him as Father. Well, what does a father desire to see in his children? He desires to see them to grow to maturity, to become an effective person in society, to be supplying and providing and being a source of help to others. And that's what a father desires to see with his children. And so it is God's working that in us. And he just invites us to yield to that and cooperate with his work. And again, it's only going to be to our benefit when we do. Last week we talked about the difference of being contrite or conceited or contrite, and we saw the Israelites after the wall was built and how they went to the Word of God and they reviewed Israel's history, and we saw what a contrast there was when Israel was walking in conceit or when they were walking contrite. When they walked in conceit, they became complacent, and that led towards captivity. In fact, the Lord turned them over to their captives because of the way that they were rebelling against Him and their conceit and their complacency. But when the children of Israel would repent and they would become contrite, they would make a commitment to the Lord. And we saw that towards the end of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 10, they were making a commitment to the Lord to live out His ways, to live out His laws that He had given through Moses. And that always led to the compassion of the Lord responding with compassion and delivering, bringing deliverance to the Israelites when they responded with contrite hearts. Now, to bring kind of a conclusion to Nehemiah and Ezra, the prophet and the priest who proclaimed the word of God and the people of Israel responding to that in a repentance and a commitment to the Lord. And concluding that, I want to give you an overview or a review of that and where we're going from here through this little video clip that I will show you now. I think you'll like this.
Over time, the Israelites who had been spread throughout Babylon and other countries began to arrive back home and worship God in Jerusalem at the newly rebuilt temple. But the wall around Jerusalem had still not been rebuilt, leaving it vulnerable to an attack. There was an Israelite named Nehemiah who was living in Susa at the time. When he was told that the Israelites were returning to Jerusalem, but there was no wall to protect them, he wept and prayed, asking God to help rebuild the wall. Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem and gathered the priests and officials and told them of his plan. The plan worked, and the wall was rebuilt in only 52 days. Nehemiah wanted to make sure the Israelites were not only safe, but worshiped God with their whole lives. So after the wall was completed, he gathered all of the Israelites, and the priest, Ezra, read to them from the book of Moses. The people understood that they were not currently living God's ways, so they began to weep. But Ezra stopped them, instructing them to instead celebrate all that God had done and return to God's ways. So the Israelites did what Ezra said and began to party. This went on for several days. A short time after this, God sent another prophet named Malachi to the Israelites. Malachi warned the people of what would happen if they turned from God's ways, but also reminded the people of God's promise to bless Israel and use them to bless the entire world. After Malachi, God did not speak to the Israelites through a prophet for 400 years, but God would not be silent forever.
Amen. Good conclusion. So God would not be silent forever. So I've entitled today's message, God Speaks. All right? We're first going to look at the reality of God speaking through the prophets. If you'd turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. And if you want to, we're going to come back to 2 Peter after the next verse. So if you want to toss something in there, just although we're not going very far away, we're just going to Hebrews. But 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21 says this. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. The things I want you to see in this is, first of all, it says prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God. So God speaks. In the Old Testament, we see him speaking through the prophets. We see the prophetic words, even as they spoke about Malachi, speaking to them, warning them about what would happen if they strayed away from the Lord. The prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And then it goes on to say that no prophecy in Scripture is the result of human interpretation. In other words, people did not decide, oh, I'm going to write something down, and I'm going to make these people do what I write down. These guys were inscribing words that were inspired by God, that came from the Lord. They didn't decide what they were going to write. It was inspired by God. It was not the result of their own human initiative. And so the word to us is pay attention. Pay attention to what they wrote. So we need to listen and heed to what the prophets spoke, what the prophets of the Old Testament. We don't see as much the prophetic word in the New Testament as more, well, I'll just get into that in a little bit here, but pay attention to what they wrote. We need to do that. Okay, then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, we see another way that God speaks. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. What I want you to see in this is that it says that God spoke through prophets, and now in these last days he has spoken through his Son. So we see not only the prophetic word of the Old Testament, we see within the Gospels the words of Jesus. He continues to speak, but we see specifically in the Gospels the words of Jesus and God speaking through his Son. It says that through his Son he created the universe, and he even sustains everything by his word, or in the New American Standard it says by the word of his power, all things are still being sustained. So we see the power of the word of God, the power of the word of Jesus as he was involved in the creation of the universe. His word has power. God speaks. He spoke through prophets. He speaks through his Son, and his word has power. Then back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, it says, "And remember, the Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. That is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Speaking of these things in all his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction." Okay, in this we see Paul wrote with the wisdom God gave him. Okay, so we see the prophets, we see God's word coming through the prophets, we see God's word coming through his Son, Jesus. We also see God's word coming through the apostles. We see the apostle Paul speaking and writing. Paul wrote with the wisdom that God gave him. And Paul's writings are equated with Scripture here. This is Peter making his commentary on the epistles that Paul wrote, that they were equated with other Scriptures. So it is Scripture that Paul wrote. And then it also says that the ignorant and the unstable twist the Scriptures, and it results in their own destruction. So one of the things that we can see in this is that we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be unstable. We don't want to be pulling God's word out of context and trying to make it fit into our lives, or trying to make it come for our good. And instead of realizing what it actually says, we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be unstable. We don't want to twist God's word. We want to understand how to properly divide God's word, or how to properly to be people that can rightly divide the word and trying to get that out in a fashion that makes sense. But anyways, God has spoken, and we need to be able to properly understand his word so that we don't end up destroying ourselves as a result of that. Okay, so, but then because God has given us word through the prophets, through his son, through the apostles, he not only just gave us that word, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us truth. So we have this indwelling presence of God, a part of the Trinity, the Spirit of God, given to us. We see that in John 16:13, when it says this. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So the Spirit of truth was sent by God on the day of Pentecost, and all people have the opportunity to receive that indwelling fullness, the presence of the Spirit of God, the one who is the one who teaches us truth. So this enables us to not be unstable when it comes, or ignorant when it comes to the Scriptures, because we have that one dwelling on the inside of us who will lead us and guide us into truth. We also see a similar passage in 1 John 2:27 that says, but you've received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So not only do we have the Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, but he's going to teach us exactly what we need to know. And this, I see, is how God personalizes his word to us. It's like when I'm teaching a message like this, I'm sharing with you the word of God. But it goes beyond the words that I say, because the Spirit of God, that's like the raw material. God takes this word that I speak, the word from Scripture, and that's like the raw material that the Spirit of God on the inside of you takes and personalizes it specifically to you for what you need. That's the awesome work, the miraculous work of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. You're not subject just to what I tell you. This is truth. This is the Word of God, because you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, leading and guiding you into that truth and teaching you what it is that you need to know. So that's just so awesome what God has supplied for us, that he speaks. He spoke by the prophets. He spoke through his son. He speaks by the apostles. And we have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us for us to receive that word, to understand that word, to walk in the light and the truth of that word, and receive the blessing, the outcome of Father's counsel. Hallelujah. You can't get it better than that. So anyway, we got it good. So let me go on from there with embedding the word. This is one of the concepts that we came across with the Reveal survey. I've shared, you know, as a part of this series of teaching, I've gone back to the survey that we took that was kind of like Nehemiah going and examining the walls. He looked at the walls before they rebuilt the wall and put up the gates again, the gates that had been destroyed. He went and examined it, and he took a bunch of leaders with him so that they could assess where their vulnerabilities were. And so I looked at our Reveal survey that we encouraged you to take last summer, and we went back to that to see what kinds of things are we needing to address, what kinds of things can help us to increase in our spiritual vitality, help us to mature towards that process of where we are complete in Christ, and those kinds of things. And so when we looked at the spiritual index, again, we saw that we were at a number of 74, and there's a number of things that are involved in that, but what I want you to see is we're talking about embedding the Scripture and the significant difference that the Scripture has regarding our development. In our personal spiritual practices, it says this involves how often people study the Bible, reflect on Scripture, and experience solitude and journal. So studying the Bible and reflecting on Scripture is such a vital part of our personal spiritual practices, our spiritual disciplines. That's a part of our spiritual vitality. And also the church has a role when it comes to Scripture. It says this reflects how well the church provides spiritual challenge, in-depth Bible teaching, and a sense of belonging, etc. So the in-depth Bible teaching is a part of the church's role in seeing your spiritual vitality increase, your coming to that place of completion increase. The church has a part of that, has a role in that. Okay, we also looked at the spiritual growth framework, and we saw that there were catalytic kinds of things that would help a person progress in that spiritual maturity, from becoming an explorer in Christ to growing in Christ to close to Christ to being Christ-centered. There are catalysts that help us to attain that or progress towards that spiritual maturity, to step from one to the other. And in movement number two, I'm just going to expand it there so you can see, and it still will probably not be very, very clear to read there because of the fine print, but I'm going to, you know, show you that as a part of this catalyst moving us in our spiritual maturity, so much is involving the Word of God. It says, you know, so does belief in the authority of the Scriptures. Belief in the authority of the Scriptures increases. As that increases, it motivates us to become closer to Christ. It's like, I believe this is true. I believe this is God's Word. And I am choosing to make this to be what guides me in my life. The authority, it has final authority in my life. As we progress in our spiritual maturity, we embrace that authority of the Scripture, and we line ourselves up to it. So just like Jesus said, you know, it's not the one who hears the Word, but it's the one who hears the Word and does the Word is the one who's got his life solidly established on a solid rock foundation rather than on the sand that can shift when the storm comes. Also, spiritual practices deepen a personal commitment. I'm having trouble reading it myself. And reflecting on Scripture is frequent. For those who are progressing in their spiritual development, reflecting on Scripture is frequent. So we can see in this how much the Word of God is involved in our development, reaching our potential, coming to that place of completion. Another thing we looked at is how revealed top churches deliver spiritual growth. We just looked at this real recently, and these were the things involved in churches with a high spiritual vitality index. They were involved in these things, doing these things, and one of them was embedding the Bible in everything that you do. So I'm just proclaiming that we as a church want to do that. I mean, this has always been important to us to preach. I don't preach a lot of stories. I preach a lot of a word. I teach a lot from the Scriptures. And everything that I desire to say to you, I'm desiring to have it backed up by the Scripture. Me preaching the Scripture, not me making things up and then pulling out things that I, you know, you know, philosophies or whatever to make you believe what I believe. It's got to be the Word. And we want to make the Word to have that place of authority and place of significance in this congregation. Excuse me. So let me just share with you a little bit about where we have come from and where we are going to with a progression of what has taken place when the Dream and Steam team were meeting. We talked about what is it that this congregation needs, what are the positions of the walls and the gates, and you know, what are the vulnerabilities, what is it that this congregation needs, and also what is it that this congregation is asking for as a result of you having taken the survey. And so I'm going to toss that up on the screen, and I don't know if that's, can you read that? The print is fine, but I'll point out the point I'm trying to make with that, okay? It says, what your people want most from Praise Fellowship Church. This is a result of the, based on the church sample size of 43, there were 43 people that went ahead and took the survey. And the needs are listed in order of importance, and the importance score, the scale, 6 is high and 1 is low. The very top thing on what you guys responded saying, this is what we need as a church. We need help in understanding the Bible in depth. That's what I want to see in a church. You folks said the top thing was, helps me understand the Bible in depth. And then there are other things that go down from there. But so the point of what I'm saying is, what you're asking for is what we want to give you. And we have a plan of how to get it to you, how to help you to understand the Bible in greater depth, and how that embedding the Scripture in your lives, you having the opportunity to reflect on Scripture, to read Scripture, to apply it to your lives, will enable you to increase in your own spiritual vitality and enable you to increase in your spiritual maturity to that place where you are not only exploring Christ, but close to Christ, but you're Christ-centered. You're living your life surrounded in Christ. So, one of the things that I presented to the Dream Esteem team that had come across my pathway here when we were meeting and gathering and doing our workshops is this book called The Story. And I found it very interesting because what it does is it takes the scripture. There are portions of the scripture. This is not the whole Bible. And if someone was to say, well, that's the Bible and it doesn't have everything in it, so someone's going to be cursed because they've taken parts out of the Bible. It's not the Bible. It's a book that contains significant writings of the scripture. The actual New International Version, 2011 translation. And I'll just share a few more details with you. But this came across my desk, and I go, you know, it's written in a chronological form, and it's also a novel form type in the sense that it's not chapter and verse, it's just pages of the text. And so as I was looking at that, I saw, you know, this would be an interesting thing, a way for us to get a broad, big picture of what God's Word is all about, what the Bible is all about. From beginning to end, not just taking portions of it or you know, small parts of it in teaching like I do on a Sunday, but just a big overview of this. And this became very interesting to me. But as I considered the possibility and considered you know, the possibility of us doing it together as a church, I realized that the cost for each book was $20. So I was thinking, you know, how is it that we might be able to do this and it be, you know, cost effective for us as a congregation to do it. So I started looking for, you know, I'd get on Amazon, I'd go, you know, different places, Christian book distributors, and they're all, you know, $20 a book. And I said, thinking that's kind of spendy, you know, for us to do it as a church. And eventually then, you know, I had presented it to our Dream Esteem team and I said, you know, just think about this. This is something that's very interesting. But along the way, I received a call from Zondervan with an opportunity to preview a kit that contained this as well as other books at for different ages to go through it together as a church. And I, you know, I thought, yeah, I'll take a look. You know, no, you didn't have to buy the kit. You could preview it for 60 days. If you didn't like it, just send it back, no cost. And so I said, yeah, I mean, we've been interested in this anyway, and so send the kit. And at the same time, I asked him, I said, you know, I said, it is kind of spendy, you know, do you offer up any discounts? He says, oh, yeah, when you purchase, after having gotten this kit, you can purchase at a 40% discount. So I'm going, ooh, okay, that sounds very interesting. We were interested in this anyway, and now it looks like it might be more affordable for us to even do it. And so now in this month's newsletter, I wrote this to you. We are offering you an opportunity to join together as a church in an adventure of reading or listening through major portions of the Bible. I believe that the story is the right tool to increase our understanding of the Bible, helping readers understand God's story from Genesis to Revelation, and how your own stories intersect with God's. Consisting of 31 chapters of carefully selected scriptures, sequenced in chronological order, the story presents the Word of God in an engaging format, reading like a novel. Okay, so I went and ordered the kit, and I presented the kit to the Dream and Steam team. We unpacked the kit together through a DVD that of Shelley Leith, who was sharing with us about the resources that are in there. And so I'm going to kind of unpack the kit with you right now and share with you the resources. First of all, there is the story. And it's a hardcover book. And again, what this is it is an abridged chronological Bible. Abridged meaning it does not contain all of the scriptures that are included in the Bible, but there are parenthetical sections where it describes the parts that are skipped. Like, you know, it doesn't give you all the Levitical laws and things like that, the things you struggle through when you're trying to read through your Bible through the, you know, the whole Bible in a year or that kind of thing. But anyway, so that's what that is. Then also there is the story, the teen edition, which is basically the same content, only it's in a paperback form and has some other neat little features in it that I'm not going to go into much detail at this point. But there is the teen edition. And then there is the story for kids that's for ages 9 through 12. And that does read differently. It's not the verse, not word for word. It is written in a manner that, that younger children are able to more easily read. I need a separate table here. Okay, then there is the story for children, and this is a awesome hardcover book that's absolutely, totally illustrated, tremendous illustrations that go through the same chapters as the other books, 31 chapters, and you guys can come and look at these closely later. And then there is the one for little ones, for preschoolers. It's another hardcover, awesomely illustrated book as well. And then, if we're going through this together as a church, one of the things we're going to offer up the kids as they come to Kids Church, and I've got to work out some of these details with our leaders yet, so, but it's just letting you know. But if they choose not to do it, we're going to hand it out anyway. So one way or another, your kids will get it. But there's trading cards. And they have cool little things for preschool and for elementary. Each week that they come, they'll get a trading card. And on the back of it, it has like a memory verse. And it has other important information about the subject and the chapter that you're going over that week. Okay, so after I had done the... After we had gone through the information, I called to get prices. You know, I said, okay, said something about a 40% discount. What's that going to cost for these various books? And especially if we're desiring to do this as a complete church, you know, I got to know what it's going to cost. And so the person that I talked to shared, well, if you order in the month of November, there's a 50% discount. So I'm going, okay, 40%, I like 50. And I had talked to her early enough that it would not be a problem for us to make our order in November. But she said, you know, why don't you, I'm going to set you up with a council session, a coaching session. And she set that up with Shelley Leith, so the very person that we watched, the Dream Esteem team watched on DVD. I got to have a telephone conversation with her for about an hour one day. And she started out by saying, Roger, tell me about your church. And so I said, well, you know, this is our dynamics. You know, we started the church 26 years ago, about 100 people in our congregation. You know, I just gave her a variety of the dynamics. I said, we just have gone through the Reveal survey. And one of the things that it speaks of so significant in there is embedding the word in everything that you do. And I said, we want to do that as a congregation. And we felt like the story, this might enable us to do this, a tool for us to do this. And she said, this is remarkable. She said, the reason why we put this kit together is because there was such a demand as a result of churches taking the Reveal survey and wanting to involve that in their congregation. And so, you know, I just really felt like the hand of God was involved in this whole process with this information coming across my desk in the first place and presenting it to the Dream and Steam team saying, here's a possibility. Then I get a call from a salesperson saying, you know, just review this kit if you would. Yeah, I'm really interested, especially when you give discounts. And then, you know, and me unpacking that with the Dream and Steam team and them going, you know, these look like some really... helpful and good materials that we can utilize as a church, and then me having the phone conversation and, you know, finding out that there's 50% discount and then how that was so closely connected with what other churches have been doing as a result of their Reveal survey and desiring to have the church benefit from embedding the word in this fashion. And so let me just share with you the response that I get. Oh, here's another thing that Shelley shared with me as I was in my coaching session with her. She said, You know, she says, I'm going to encourage you to order the materials now, except I'm going to have you hold off on ordering some of the adult edition of the story. She said, because starting Monday, next Monday, which is tomorrow, she said they're going to be 75% off. So I'm going, yes! And so I ordered a couple of cases of them, you know, because she said they're going to be available in limited quantities. So she said, but I think you can plan on for sure being able to get 5 cases, 16 in a case, and I'm, you know, thinking for the whole congregation. And but let me share with you her comments to me in the email after I'd made the order. She said, thank you for our conversation today. It was a delight to talk to you and to learn about your ministry and the direction you're going with the story. I was particularly enthralled with your inspiration for doing the story because of your results from the Revealed study. That is remarkable. And I love that your Dream and STEAM team is helping you take your church through this intentional journey to increase their understanding of the Bible. Hello. Is that for me? Oh, okay. No. Hello. All right. So, doesn't she know we're in church? Oh, it is later. Okay. Okay, that's okay though. All right. Zip, zip, and be quiet. Okay, so I want to share with you our intentions for distributing these materials to you. Our plan is to have family and single packs available for people that are not available. We're putting them in your hands. For people that are regularly participating at Praise Fellowship Church. And then, as you know, for those, well, let me just go on and share this with you. Oh, also for those that are in the military, so the Caleb boys and Isaac, the Walter boys, Caleb and Isaiah. Sometimes I go, never mind. Okay, so we're going to send them to them as well. And what we will do is we will let you know what the retail value would have been had you, you know, gone to the store to buy them, and let you know what our cost is. And then here you're going to have a choice. You can determine to receive it as a gift, as a regular participant at PFC. If you choose to just take these books as a gift, I am good with that. I am fine with that. Okay. However, you may also determine to help defray the cost with a contribution. And if you decide to do that, that's fine too. You're not required to do that. We're going to, you know, I don't know if you remember me sharing a few weeks ago. I said, you know, I've got an idea for embedding the word, but I've got to come up with some resources to make sure we can do this. Well, that's what this was all about. And here's where I want to go. You know, you could receive this as a gift, but it's really a result of you folks with your tithes and your offerings, making it so that there's food in God's house. You following me on that? It's like, as you guys have been faithful with your giving, that has put us in a position where we could buy these and just pass them on to you because of your faithful giving. And that is food in Father's storehouse to be able to be distributed at the proper time and enabling, you know, as a tool to help you to embed the word in your personal life together with us as a church as well. And so with that, you know, I want you to just understand that, you know, I'm so blessed with your giving. And if you have watched, I don't know if you watch or not, how the offerings go from week to week and how much, you know, we budgeted at the beginning of the year basically based on what transpired last year. And this year we're exceeding that in tithes and offerings. We're exceeding what was budgeted. And again, that's just a tremendous thing. It always works much better when it goes that way than when it goes the other way. I've lived through those years too, and it's not easy. But just thank you for your generosity and the reality that we have food in Father's house available. But what we'll do is we'll make one of these out with the packet that we give you, either as a single individual or as a family. To list out the things that we're going to distribute to you. And we may need to do some counsel with some of your families to make sure we get the right books for the right, you know, kids and that kind of thing. But we're going to present these to you and show you what the retail cost would have been, what the cost per unit would be, our cost, and what the total would be in the package that you're receiving. And then, like I said, you can just receive it as a gift. That's just fine. Or you can, if you want to contribute, you know, a part of it or the whole of our expense, that would be just fine as well. But and then beyond that, we are ordering extras. We're going to have extra books available. And for purchase at our cost then, and these would be for, first of all, for non-participating family members. You know, you might have a spouse or children or, you know, a parent or some, you know, that is not a part of Praise Fellowship Church or not participating with us, and but you would like them to have one as well. And you can go ahead and purchase it at the reduced cost for family members. Also, as Christmas gifts, especially, I tell you what, these children's books, awesome Christmas gifts. And we've ordered enough extra that, you know, you can buy them for, you know, some family members that you would love to have. See you guys. Blessings.
We have an engagement.
I'm
sorry, it is not the game.
Sure. Just so I know you're not offended and leaving because you're not offended?
No.
I can tell I've gone long when people start getting up and leaving. Okay. I will move on. Okay, Christmas gifts. They're awesome for Christmas gifts. And also for new people coming in for the adventure. This is one of the things that they encouraged in the coaching is, you know what? You're going to have people that just want to hook up with you because people don't go to church just so that they can rub shoulders with other people and you know, have close contacts and that. They want to know more about God's Word. And so when you're offering this up as a, you know, something that for the church to go through, there will be people that will come or people that are interested. And so we're going to have copies available that new people can purchase at the reduced cost that the church gets it for. All right, and then let's go on then, and I want to conclude with a couple of more verses that speak about the significance of God's Word. First of all, from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And materials are ordered, the most of them. I will be ordering the rest of them tomorrow. But we will be starting this probably about mid-January. I need to make sure the ducks are all quacking in a row before we start doing this. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, awesome words about God's Word. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Here's the Word of God. It's described as being alive and powerful. There is nothing else that is inspired of God other than His Word. And it has life. Remember that Jesus upholds all of the universe by the strength of His Word, by the Word of His power. And so it is alive and it is powerful. And it's described as being sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, it can pierce the heart where it needs to be pierced. And again, exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. That's what happens when by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You're reading the Word, and all of a sudden, it's exposed what's going on in your life that needs to change. What's good and what's not good, what needs correction. And that's where we'll go from in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Again, these are really familiar scriptures, but I just want you to see the importance of God's Word and embedding it in your life and how we as a church, we have a role in your spiritual vitality and a role in your development, reaching your potential and coming into that place of completion. And we want to do our part. We want you not to have an excuse when you stand before Father. If you stand before Him not complete, we want you to not be able to say, well, you know, it was that church that I went to. I hardly ever preached the Word. They didn't give us any opportunity for growth or getting into the Word. That you'll not have that excuse. So anyway, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Okay, so here we see Scripture is inspired by God. The prophets spoke. The Son spoke. In the Gospels, we have what he spoke. And now he has spoken also through the apostles and prophets, and we have the inspired Scripture writings of the apostles as well. God speaks. We need to be listening and hearing what he says. The Scripture teaches us what is true. It corrects us when we are wrong. Okay, so here is Father speaking to us, helping us to know how we ought to live, helping us to know what is going to enable us to be successful or what's going to get us in trouble if we lower our walls and our gates and make ourselves vulnerable to the enemy who is seeking whom he may destroy. The Word of God equips us to do every good work. So it is vital for the completion process. It is vital for us to reach our potential, the Word of God being embedded in our lives. And we just want to be involved in that as a church to see that you have every advantage that you have for becoming complete in Christ as a result of embedding the Word of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that lies before us. Father, I pray that we can just embrace this in a smooth way, Lord, that just gets us excited about being in your Word and seeing the historic example of Israel and how you have worked with mankind throughout the many years, Lord, and just to know how it is that you desire to work with us. To see your big story, Father, and then to see how our lives intersect with that story. And the days that we live in, the vital time that we have, Father, to present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, as one that is reaching our potential, Lord, equipped for every good work because we've got your Word embedded in our hearts. Father, just help us in this process, and we just offer it up to you and offer ourselves up to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We do have, and I'd invite the prayer ministry team, Stephen, Linda, and Dale to come on.